I miss some. Who usually speaks? Nobody? Good morning, Emmaus. I got two. There you go. There you go. Appreciate it. Howard. Yeah, sorry. I jumped. New year. I thought I'd switch it up.
Morning, everybody. Happy New Year. So as we get started this morning, we want to take a few minutes to chat a little bit about another one of the missionaries that, actually two missionaries that we support. If you've been around for a while, you've heard of this one before, the Tevita Children's Assistance, located in Kenya. And it's an organization that we've become very intimately involved with through a relationship that goes back many years with Vic and with one of the missionaries that are there. So, and that's kind of the essence of what we're talking about when we think about the missionaries. I mean, there's thousands, tens of thousands of wonderful people that we could support. And how do we as a church body, as the family of God living on mission, how do we pick and choose who do we support? And it's really about relationships. And as you've seen, as we've been bringing people up here and talking with them or sharing about them, it's really about who do we know, and do we know their heart, and can we see the work that they're doing? And when we see things like the pictures that you're seeing behind us, where these folks in Kenya, both people who were born and raised there and lived there and it's their home, and people who have gone there to be missionaries, it really touches our heart. And that's what we're looking for as we're trying to figure out what to do. So here in Tevita, Kenya, the Tevita Children's Assistance, it's really about helping. We talk about widows and orphans. It's really a lot of the children that we're helping there are orphans. They were orphaned because of the AIDS virus that has devastated the continent of Africa. Thankfully, the tide seems to be turning there. But you have these young children who lost families, moms and dads, both in many cases. And so Pastor Samson and his wife Charity are there on the ground, and they work tirelessly there in their own community supporting those children. We have gotten involved. We have built a feeding center there. If you've been around, you've seen pictures of the feeding center that we built. But it wasn't us that built it. It was God who built it. And it's the Holy Spirit. That's the same God that lives inside of me, that lives inside of you, lives inside of Samson and his wife Charity. There's also Jeff and Lucy Osborne. Jeff Osborne is dear friends of Vic and Roxanne's for years and years and years. Has been over there, married Lucy over there. We've had the opportunity to actually meet Jeff here, has come and spoken to us. And he's deeply involved there. And that's where that relationship has been developed over many, many years. So as we think about this mission in Kenya, and the obstacles that they face. I mean, they face many obstacles. I mean, there's cultural obstacles with the different religions in the community there. There's financial obstacles. They fall about $1,000 a month short of what their needs are right now. And then there's just the everyday obstacles, just like you and I face. Just think about that. I mean, Jeff has to get up every morning and take care of his family and his children. Samson and Charity have the same struggles that we have. It's just ocean apart. So as we think about them today, as we pray for them, let's think about that. If you want to get involved, there's some information up here. They have all kinds of needs. I mean, this particular ministry has all kinds of needs, financially, just spiritually, prayer for them as they deal with just the everyday challenges that they have to deal with. So let's lift them up in prayer this morning. If you're interested in learning more about them, we have information both up here on the screen, or you can come see us. If you're interested in making a financial contribution, you can do that as well. Some people have been asking me lately, how can I, if I wanted to do something, you can simply write a check to Emmaus, and in the memo line, just tell us which one of the organizations that has touched your heart that you might want to contribute to. But mostly we can contribute to them through prayer. and both individually and corporately as the body of Christ. So let's do that this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to have relationships with people, not just here sitting next to us in a chair, but people across the ocean. And we know that that relationship is through you. We know that's through the Holy Spirit that lives within us, is the same God that lives in Samson and in Jeff and in Charity and in Lucy and all the people on the ground there in Kenya who are working for your glory in a land far away with needs that are unlike any needs that we have here in this land. So, Father, we pray for them. We pray for them that they'll be lifted up spiritually, that they will be guided by you and the discernment of who to help if they're limited with their limited resources. And we pray for them to be protected against any evil that might come their way as they work tirelessly for you. And Lord, we pray that you will bless them with and satisfy all of their needs so that they can continue to do the work that you have given them to do, and that they can continue to lift up these children in Africa and teach them the gospel story so that they can see you, not just hear about you, but see you through us and through the missionaries there so that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, try that again. Good morning. Hello, welcome to Amaze. If you're a first-time guest, my name is Leonard Small. I'd like to welcome you out. Inside of your church bulletin, you'll see this little white slip of paper. You go ahead and fill it out for me. We're going to go, and if you have any prayer requests, even more importantly, the more people I'll talk to, especially church family, the more I realize that there's a lot of situations going on that, you know, the leadership here may not be aware of. You know, we kind of like want to suffer quietly, you know, just kind of like white knuckle our way through life. But most definitely, if you got any prayer requests, they will be prayed for. So please write them down. Let us know what's going on. How many churches there in Jacksonville? Wow, you're good, man. One church. And I'm not praying for any one church in particular. I'm praying for the big church, Big C, today. And what I'm praying for that this, just the tone of the way we interact with one another. All right, and what I mean by that is on your job, people you meet around town, unity. Do we care about each other? Do we love one another? Do we do you find that person who goes to that church that their theology is a little sketchy or the way they do things is a little off? Do you yoke up with that person and still love them and just embrace them like they're a brother and sister in Christ? So I'm praying for this year. If we can't make a change around the world, at least make a change right here in Jacksonville, that we will find people around us that know and love Jesus, and we'll treat them like family, right? Amen? That's a good thing, right? All right, so let's try that. We're going to pray for that. So I'm going to go ahead and call the ushers up, and we're going to be receiving our offering today. All right, so let us go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for grace and for mercy. We thank you for letting us see another year, Lord. We thank you for sustaining us, providing for us, Lord God. During this new year coming up, we just pray that you would give us the courage and the wisdom as your people to embrace one another. That we will find that person on our job and in our life that may not believe the way we do or worship you the way that we do, and we embrace them and love them as a brother and sister in Christ, and that from there we can do things like make an impact in places like Kenya or even on the west side of Jacksonville, that we don't look at each other as enemies but as partners for your kingdom, Lord. We thank you for the offering about to receive for the building of your kingdom. We ask that you give us the wisdom to use it in a way that glorifies you. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. All right. If you look inside of your church bulletin, the Emmaus Children's Ministry, they have some very important need. And I say important, we talk about the children's ministry a lot. But the reality is that if we're not supporting them back there, then that's robbing them, the volunteers, of an opportunity to come in here and fellowship and worship with the congregation. So if you have a child back there, most definitely, or you just love children, you got some grandkids, you know, you miss them, well, go pour that love on those little ones over there. It's not just child care. It is also disciple making. So there are some big implications to children's ministry. Over 50s? Maybe they weren't ready for that. Over 50s? They'll be getting together Friday, January 8th. Our next Wednesday night life is not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. We are still, yeah, somebody's excited. Good stuff. We are still supporting foster families. Information is inside of your church bulletin. The men's group is starting back up. And also, there'll be two new women's studies coming up, and the Nortons and Steeds, which are in Guatemala, they have some needs. And on the 16th of January, this thing called Mosaic that I'm starting up. So if you feel so inclined on the 16th, we're going to be eating some food and just sharing what God is going to do here in Jacksonville through Mosaic Church. So if you have some free time and you don't have a church home or you're loosely affiliated with a church, come on out. If you know someone who's loosely affiliated with a church and they're looking for a church that's a little bit different, then send them on out January 16th at 6 p.m. God bless.
All right, good morning. Good morning. So what happened to the over 50s? Man, usually you make the announcement, they make all the noise, and see what happened is New Year's happened. See, they get tired a little quicker than some of us, you know, so they stayed home today, sleeping. Okay, now you woke up, all right. I just need to wake them up, wake up the sleeping giant, right? Oh, that is awesome, awesome. Well, listen, okay, it is, and it's not far off, right? It's crazy, the older you get, the faster the years fly by. Can you believe it's 2016? It's unreal. It seems like just, you know, it wasn't long ago. Prince was singing about partying like it's 1999. And I'm gonna date myself, but when that was happening, I was like, you know, it was so far away, you couldn't even imagine what that would be like. And I was just blown by that, right? 2016, I mean, how many failed resolutions between, you know, then and now? How many of you guys made resolutions this year? Anyone? Man, we got a smart congregation, right? I mean, there's, you know, I'm not going to ask you, for those of you who did, I'm not going to ask you what they are, because then you won't be embarrassed in 2 weeks when I ask you how it's going and you've just failed. I've just made the decision I'm not going to do that. If I kept all the resolutions I've made, I'd probably weigh like 50 pounds now, because, like, you know, I would have lost lots and lots of weight. And I've just realized that resolutions are lies we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better. Like, it's going to be better this year. So, So let's leave those, all right? And let's look at the new year with some fresh eyes. The one thing I love about the new year, besides the whole holiday season and all the parties, I love those, like, year-in-review things. Like, everything does, like, a year-in-review, whether it's a news show that you watch or ESPN. I mean, everyone does a year-in-review. And if you've missed a lot, you can catch up and you see all the craziness that's gone on. Or I mean, it's been an entertaining year. And I'm not going to go through the highlights, but from, you know, Donald Trump running for president to, you know, Steve Harvey's gaffe on the Miss Universe thing and everything in between, Star Wars coming out now in the new year, Jurassic Park resurrected after 20 years, whatever it is. Lots of stuff happening this year, right? And here's what I want you to think about as an individual here this morning, 2016. If you were to put on your year in review, personally, your family, what would that look like for you? What would your year in review look like? And if we were going to be honest, it would be stories of joy, sorrow, tragedy, right? Some victory. Here's the great thing. With Jesus, a new year brings new opportunity. It brings an opportunity for a fresh start. Have you ever wondered why God gave us the seasons? Now, if you're from Florida, you're like, what are you talking about, right? But there are places in the world where, like, the leaves change color and all these things happen. And we have this seasonal change, and we have a year, a new year that comes around. And have you ever wondered why God did that? Now, you could immediately give, like, a scientific answer as to why all these things happen. But here's the thing. God created the world that we live in, and he was very purposeful about that, okay? And so I think that as we see spring come in the air and new life to things that were dead, I think God did that for a reason, to remind us that there's always hope, right? And it's not just, you know, when a new year comes around, but think about it. Every day, the sun goes down, and then the sun comes up. And it's like, man, there's hope for a new day. You know, it might have been crappy yesterday, but there's hope for a new day today, a better day. Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. Yes, Lamentations, okay? Lamentations 3, 22 to 23 says this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, may we never forget this. So regardless of what your year in review might look like, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His loyal, faithful love never ends. Okay? Now just think about that for a minute. Because this is something that has to do with God's character, not yours. Okay? His steadfast love never ceases. Now, you may cease being faithful, but he will always be faithful. So it's not dependent on how good you are. It's not dependent on how well you've done. It doesn't matter what your year in review looks like. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies are new every morning. Man, you got another chance. Isn't that awesome? You got another chance. Any golfers in here? I'm not a golfer, but even if you just know a little bit about golf, anyone know what a mulligan is? Okay, a mulligan is what someone like me relies on when I go golfing. Like I need one of those on every hole, and then I'm still really bad, but I'm a little bit better. But a mulligan is basically you get a do-over, right? You get up there, you take that shot, and you shank it, and you take a mulligan. You get to do it over, right? And I think of this verse, these verses in Scripture, and it's like every day God gives you a mulligan. You know, it's like you get a chance to start over today. You get a chance to do it. How'd you do yesterday? All right, now take that. Hopefully we learn from that. Hopefully we grow, and it's a new day. The sun has come up. His steadfast love doesn't change. His mercies are new every morning. And they're dependent on his character and his goodness, not on yours, not on mine. And that's a beautiful thing. Great is his faithfulness. It says, 2 Timothy 2:13 says this, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. All right? So just let that sink in for a minute. In other words, he loves you today, regardless of your yesterday. Okay? He's faithful. Even when we are faithless, he is faithful. Amen. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He calls us to himself. We may turn away from him, but he continues to pursue us. And it's his desire that we repent, one of those Bible words, which all that means is that we would turn around and turn back to him. It's like as we realize that we're wandering or we realize that we're drifting and God's working on us by his Spirit, that we would turn back to him and draw near to him and come close to him. His steadfast love never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. He is faithful even when we're not. And if we were to be honest, it wouldn't take a whole year in review to see the last time we were not faithful, right? And so thank God that what we're talking about this morning is dependent on his character and not ours. If you were here last week, we talked about the story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus shows up in their home and Martha starts running around and she's getting everything prepared. And the scripture says she was distracted by everything that needed to be done. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Now Martha complained, Jesus, aren't you going to tell her to help me? He's like, she's chosen the better thing. May we take time to sit at the feet of Jesus, to read his word, to draw near to him. And I hope that some of you who were here last week, maybe change things a little bit this week. Maybe try to carve out a little bit more time. But if you were like me, you didn't bat a thousand. You know, and you still, man, I could do better. And you know what? You wake up, great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. It's like you wake up and God says, I still love you. I love you as much today as I will tomorrow, and it doesn't depend on how good you are, how much time you spend with him. He just says, I love you. It's part of who he is. God is love. That's what scripture tells us. And so we have this opportunity for a fresh start. And as we come into 2016, I want to encourage us with that. Let us take advantage of that. Not take advantage of it in such a way that God loves me, I can do what I want. But no, God loves me. Even though maybe I blew it yesterday, he loves me. And he's encouraging me to live more for him and to love like he loves so that the world might be a better place because they might experience his love through us. Because we know it and we experience it and it flows out of us. He is going to make all things new one day. And the reality is he is making things new now, each day, as we turn to him, as we turn our hearts to him, as we realize things in our lives that don't line up with him and we turn those over to him. He brings forgiveness, grace, mercy, and love, and he makes all things new. But there's a promise we read in Revelation that one day all things will be made new. And I want to read this and just listen to what John saw. Then I saw a new heaven. This is Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, there's a lot in this passage. Now, depending on where you're at in your walk with God, this could be either very encouraging or a little bit discouraging, right? Lake of fire, second death, they're going, wait a second. But he will make all things new. Wipe away every tear, no more death, no more dying, no more pain and struggle that we experience. And the fiery lake of fire and the second death is reserved for those who live in rebellion to God and never receive his love this side of heaven. Okay? Scriptural truth here for all of us to think about. As we think of our year in review, he doesn't talk about being victorious and being on one side or the other based on how good you are. He does give a description of what those people's lives look like who don't live for God. And Jesus said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. The question is, do we have a relationship with him? Because those who are victorious, he says in chapter 12 of Revelation, we're victorious by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And I surrendered to him, and I put my trust and hope in him. And it's his blood that brings victory, that brings regeneration, that brings restoration to my relationship with God. And then we receive all the promises that we have of Scripture. And he makes all things new. And his mercies are new every morning. And my life with him and my relationship with him is no longer based on how good or bad I do. It's based on Jesus and how good he did. And how good he is. And the blood, perfect blood that was shed for me and for you. And I just love that he says, I am making all things new. Because if we look at our year in review and we were all to kind of lay it out, man, there's tragedy in this room. There's triumph. There's people who have lost loved ones over the holidays in this room. There's people who got bad diagnosis in this room just in the last few weeks. There's some who look at 2015 and go, man, I would love for 2016 to be as good as 2015. And others who are going, man, I want to leave that in the dust. Man, let's get on to something new and something better. But thankfully, he says, I'm making all things new. What we read in Revelation 21 is one day going to happen. God will make all things right. Jesus will return. And right now, I just believe he's in the process of doing that. He's in the process of restoring all things. Because this world that we live in is not the world that he initially created or desired for us to experience. In the garden, everything was just as God wanted. He walked with Adam and Eve. It was perfect. There was no shame. They were naked before God. It was all good, and they weren't hippies living in the 70s. All right? I mean, it was just as God created it. It was good. And then as soon as they disobeyed, right? As soon as they disobeyed, sin comes into the world. What do? They hide. Their nakedness brings shame, and everything changes. And we're living that right now. But God's bringing restoration. And here's the thing. For those of us who know him, those of us who received his love through what Jesus has done, we have an opportunity to be a part of that restoration process here on this earth. Don't live as a Christian who just lives, man, I'm living for Revelation 21, that day when Jesus comes, and I'm just buying time between now and then. No, God's, he's restoring people now. So many of us in this room have received and understand that and have accepted him and received his love and have that restoration in our relationship with Jesus. And then there's so many people out there who don't. There's so much pain and struggle in this world. It's not God's desire that people go without food or without adequate shelter. I don't care where they live in this world. I think it breaks God's heart. And so we have an opportunity to be a part of relieving that pain and that struggle, the sadness of somebody who lost a loved one over the holidays, rather than just going, oh, it's a shame. Thankfully, it's been good for us. No, we should be the people who bear one another's burdens. Who come alongside one another, who weep with one another, who rejoice with one another. And as we do that with the strength that God gives us and a spirit that lives inside of us, we play a role in this process of restoration, his kingdom coming to earth. Scripture tells us to seek first his kingdom, where he rules and reigns. When we seek him in that way, some of what's going to happen in heaven one day begins to happen here on earth. Some of that pain is relieved. Some of that suffering is relieved. We get a glimpse of what his world will look like, what he desires for it to look like. But in this lifetime, we'll never be perfect. We won't experience this fully until that day comes. And even though my relationship with God has been restored through Jesus, as I hope many of yours has been, the reality is, I need his mercies to be new every morning. I mean, yes, I'm restored and scripture talks about being a new creation. But the reality is it takes time for wounds to heal, right? And we've all had different wounds. We've all been through stuff in life and it takes times for wounds to heal. And when those wounds heal, if they're deep enough, what are you left with? Scar. Now, you might be stronger because those places where we're scarred are often stronger. You might be stronger, but there's scars. And so to be there for one another, with one another, as we walk through this kind of stuff, and to hold on to his promises and go, he makes all things new. And he loves us. See, some of those scars and wounds are self-inflicted, right? I mean, if we're going to be honest, some of them are self-inflicted, but God's brought healing or he's bringing healing. And then he does that. And it gives us an opportunity to bring healing to people around us, to share that love and that restoration. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All right, so there's this reality. My old self, sinful nature, dead in Christ as I surrender to him, but I still have to make a choice each day between following the temptations of the enemy, because sin rears its ugly head, temptations there, or am I going to follow the Spirit? It's the battle we all face, and that's why we need his mercies every morning. We need his love. We need his forgiveness. And the day will come when our relationship with God and with others will not be hindered by sin any longer. I can't wait for that day. But until then, we're left here, right? Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. No longer any separation between us and God, no longer any separation in our relationships with others. But until that day, we have to rely on his Spirit, who gives us strength to love him and love one another in such a way that we experience a little taste of this here on earth. And God, by his Spirit, continues to draw us to him, and he gives us a new year, and he gives us a new day, and he goes, it's a chance for you to start over. And so I just want to encourage us with that, and I want to challenge us with that. Because until that day comes when Christ returns, and it's a promise we have, and in just a little while we're going to share communion together, and it's a reminder of that promise, until that day comes, we're left here to deal with the pain and sorrow and struggle that sin has inflicted on the world we live in. And so we gotta surrender to him and walk together through that. Share his love with one another, share his love with the world, that more and more people would be restored and come to know him. In Romans 7, Paul writes about this. Now, when you think about Paul, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was, at one point in his life, persecuting the church. So he was throwing followers of Jesus in prison. He was approving of their death. And then Jesus appears to him, and he is radically changed. He surrenders to Jesus. His life is radically changed. He begins to follow Christ, and he writes about it. But there's this point in Romans 7 where, you know, look at Paul, who God used to write a good chunk of the New Testament, and it says that he went through all this. I mean, he was beaten. He was left for dead. People stoning him, all these things. Great man of God. And then in Romans 7, he writes this passage that leaves a lot of theologians and a lot of us just scratching our head. And he goes, man, the things I want to do, I don't do those things. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. And he starts just sharing like this inner struggle and this wrestling. And he finally goes, you know, who will save me from this body of death? Praise be to God for Jesus Christ. But here's Paul. I mean, he's wrestling with it. So I want all of us to be encouraged by this. Don't think that you're the only one struggling. Don't think that you're the only one having those thoughts, whatever those might be. They might be unique to you, but we all have something like that. We're all wrestling, man. I want to do this, but yet sin is crouching at the door, and I'm tempted. And we're all wrestle. Paul, who wrote the Bible, he's struggling with that. And to the point where he goes, the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. He's like, what's going on? God, help. And then one of the most encouraging verses in the whole Bible, right after that struggle, Romans 8:1-2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. That one should be an amen for all of us. I mean, you know, he's like this struggle, and he loses the battle. But thank God that his mercies are new every morning. And beyond that, listen, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So if you're feeling condemned this morning, if you're feeling the weight of that guilt and shame to a point where you think God doesn't love me or God couldn't accept me, understand that's a lie from the devil. That's not the Spirit of God at work, because the Spirit of God would say to you, I love you. I want you back in fellowship with me. That stuff of the past, even if it was yesterday, It's of the past. Surrender to me. Mercies are new every morning. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ because the law no longer hangs over our head as something that convicts us because Jesus destroyed the power of that by his blood that was shed. So if you're outside of a relationship with God, just remember Revelation 21, the end of that is true. Without a relationship with him, it's judgment. But he goes, nobody needs to experience that. For God so loved the world, everyone. He invites everyone in to receive that love. And when we do, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. He makes all things new. We all have that chance at a new start. His mercies are new every morning. And the day will come when all the physical ailments and the pain that we deal with this side of heaven will be gone. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Man, I mean, there's something inside of us that longs for that day. Can you imagine what that's like? I mean, it's hard to even imagine what that would be like, to just everything just be right. And God says, that's what it's going to be like. And the struggle and the pain, it affects us all. We've all been affected in some way by the power of sin in this world. We've all lost loved ones. We've seen things in our own community that have happened. And the day is coming when there'll be no more pain, no more suffering. And until then, we hold on to the hope that we have in Christ. We serve a God who loves us, who brings healing, who brings restoration, who promises even today he can make all things new. The words Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think, sums it all up. And I'm going to read this, and then in just a moment, I'm going to lead into a time of communion for all of us. Okay, so as we're waiting for all things to be made new, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Listen, no matter what your year in review looks like, no matter what your struggle is today, don't lose heart. He makes all things new. He refers to our troubles as light and momentary. And listen, I don't want to make light of our struggles because I know in the moment it feels like anything but light and momentary, right? When we lose a loved one, I mean, that hurts. Or we get that bad report from the doctor. I mean, all that stuff weighs on us. There's so much disappointment in this world. And so we don't want to make light of that. But he goes, listen, in view of eternity, if you're really looking at things from an eternal perspective, that it changes your viewpoint. You realize these are light and momentary struggles. There's another passage where Paul goes, hey, don't forget your life's like a mist. You know, if I had a bottle of Windex, I'd just spray it, and you watch the drops fall to the ground. That's your life. That's what it's like in the scope of eternity. I mean, if we're doing good, we're given 70, 80, maybe 90 years here. And we're talking about eternity. We're talking about being with God forever and ever. And he goes, basically, this life is an opportunity for you to live for him, to experience, to share his love with as many people as possible. And then we go to be with him. And we share that time face to face, as that scripture says in Revelation 21. Don't lose heart. He makes all things new. Inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. And what is seen is temporary. I'm going to ask the band to come up. And in just a moment, we're going to take some time to share communion. And there's communion tables to either side, and there's a communion table in the back. And the purpose of this time is to be reminded of the truth we're talking about today. That what we see today is not the end game. As we break this bread, as we drink this cup, it can be just a ritual. It can be just a ritual, okay? You guys can hold up just a second. Just hold up a second. I'm sorry. Mark, go ahead and play. I want us to just think about this for a moment before we move into that. Because you can take that bread, you can take that cup, and this is what we do at church, and it can be a ritual, or it can be a time, as Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember who he is, what he's done. Remember that his mercies are new every morning. If you would just close your eyes, I want to have a moment of just sitting before God again. And I want you to think about your life, your relationship with God. Think about your year in review. What was 2015 like for you? What areas do you want to grow? Any confession you need to make to God? If you strayed, it's time to just surrender back and come back to him. If you feel like the world's beating you up in so many ways, just hold on to the hope of his love and his healing. That his mercy is new every morning. And if you're feeling the weight of guilt and shame, turn to him and it'll be removed. He loves you. Hear the words. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. God, by the power of your Spirit, may you help us to fix our eyes on what is unseen. Lord, to look at the reality that you are making all things new, God. To trust in that, the restoration. God, the pain that's there, and we talked about wounds and scars, and God, bring your healing into those areas. That in 2016, Lord God, we might grow. We might be people who bring hope, who bring healing, who bring that love, who let others know there's no condemnation. Just give your life to Christ. There's no condemnation. And God, this morning, may we lay all of our cares at your feet and believe that your mercy is new every morning. In Jesus' name. All right, as the band comes up in just a moment, and as they begin to play, I want to encourage you, take some time with family, friends, grab a piece of the bread, grab a cup, maybe go to a corner of the room, back to your chair, wherever, and just take a moment. Pray with one another. Talk, share. If there's anything that stood out, maybe just pray that over your family, over your friends. Just remember his mercies are new every morning. It's because of what Jesus has done, and there is hope in that. So let's stand. And if you would, just go ahead and make your way to the communion tables and take some time with the Lord. Lord, thank you for that invitation. Thank you that we could come just as we are. We don't have to hide. We don't have to put on some kind of mask. We don't have to pretend that we're someone we're not. Thank you that we could just come as we are, Lord. Thank you that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, that he took it all upon himself. And God, I pray that you would remind us of that. And God, as much as you invite us to come just as we are, and as much as we're forgiven and we know your mercies are new every morning, God, help us to draw near to you, to be changed on the inside, Lord God, to allow you to do that healing work, to allow you to do that restoration that only you can do, so that we can bring that to the rest of the world, God. God, if we feel stuck, I pray that your deliverance and that your healing would come in those areas. God, that you would help us, however that needs to take place, whether it's people coming alongside and bearing those burdens and walking with us, maybe you've called us to walk with someone else. God, help us to do that, that your healing might come, that your restoration might come. And God, that we might share that with a world that's desperately in need of that. God, we thank you for it. Thank you for a new day where your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for a new year. We thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. And God, we thank you that this isn't the end game, that the struggles we face, God, are just temporary. Help us to fix our eyes on what's eternal. That's you and your kingdom, and it will never end. And we thank you for that, and we look forward to your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you, talk to you about anything that's going on. There's sign-up sheets for women's Bible study out there. God bless you. May the grace of God be with all of us as we go, and may we never forget that his mercies are new every morning. God bless you. Peace be with you. We'll see you soon.